The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, where sports betting lives. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Circa Resort and Casino, downtown Las Vegas. How you doing, sir?
Doing well. How about you?
I am good. You have put together a fine one today, sir. We are covering it all. WNBA. How about some WNBA today?
Boom. Shoemaker.
Shoemaker. Maybe some...
A.K.A. the shoe breaker.
Maybe some basketball footage of Shoemaker. Yo-yo in the dribble.
That's right.
Doing a hezzy.
Breaking shoes.
Maybe dunking on somebody. We had half of the WNBA first round end last night with Liberty and the Aces advancing. No surprise. Tonight, Caitlin Clark in action. Do you have Indiana fever?
You know what? I mean, yes. I'll be watching. I love basketball. I'm a basketball fan.
This could be the end for Caitlin.
I ended up watching way more last night than I think I would have ever expected watching.
Me too.
But man, the Liberty and Aces both are so fun to watch. Can't wait to see them further on in the playoffs. I hope Caitlin Clark somehow mixes it up and gets into this the Final Four here. It'd be great.
They're on the brink of elimination. I like how the WNBA does a best of three right off the bat.
Yeah, me too.
Though, again, the scheduling where they schedule all the games one, however you're supposed to say that, on a football Sunday. By the way, for people complaining about that, it's all because of ESPN, right? ESPN doesn't have an NFL package, so they throw the WNBA on there. And then Monday night, they do have football, so they don't throw the WNBA on Monday. It's a whole thing.
The power of Caitlin Clark, I read something this morning. I think that was their most watched ever WNBA game was Sunday. So even in the middle of an NFL slate, they're still pulling in that many viewers.
Well, we will talk Caitlin Clark and, of course, the two WNBA games with Tyler later. We will also have Matt Lindemann in to talk college football. He's got a three-pack of picks that include some of the cardiac kids from this past week at college football. So we'll do that as well. Power rankings in the NFL, Jason, so much more. Yep. We'll get to it all. I want to start, first of all, a couple things. One, a little housekeeping. Tennis is in Beijing and Tokyo. So sometimes this week I will have picks on the show that haven't started yet. Most of the time they will have already been played overnight, including our one play last night was on Gret Minnen. She was a winner in straight sets. So a winner for those who are subscribers, VSiN.com/picks, every host, every guest, every sport at the network at VSiN.com/picks. So it pays to be a subscriber. So on the board there in the Asian part of this tour, and obviously they have been there now for a few weeks. They were in Thailand and in Korea these past couple weeks. As far as baseball, I got good news and I got bad news. Let's start with the good news about our bets, and hopefully if you're riding along with these, you feel the same way. Here in the American League, all good news. Our Detroit Tigers bet, which we made last week at +450, looking good. Tigers and Royals now with a two-game lead over the Minnesota Twins for that, I guess now at this point, second and third final wild card positions in the American League playoff picture with just five games to go. Look at this collapse by the Minnesota Twins. And this is end of play August 10th. The Tigers were 11 games behind the Twins and 10 behind the Royals for that final playoff spot.
What?
Since then... This is August 10th, Kelly. Since then, the Tigers have gone 28-11, while the Royals, who are really trying to give it up, our Royals, who we have in a World Series matchup, they've gone 18-21. They are the quintessential, here, take the newspaper team at 18-21. Minnesota, even worse, at 16-25. That has completely flipped the standings. And then, as they are right now, currently, Detroit and Kansas City, both 83-74 with a two-game lead over the Twins for, again, that final third, that final wild card position, the sixth overall seed in the American League. Minnesota now closer to the teams that are behind them, Seattle and Boston, than they are to Detroit and Kansas City. And Kansas City just eked out a 1-0 win in extras last night against the Natties as Bobby Witt Jr. came to the rescue. So that's looking good. There's still five games left. It's still not over. Still won't be over no matter what happens today because Minnesota has the tiebreaker over both the Tigers and the Royals. So not home yet, but looking good. By the way, Kansas City has a tiebreaker over Detroit.
When did you make that Tigers bet? Like end of August?
No, last week. You were right here. Were you here? Were you present?
That was only last week.
Yes.
Why does it feel like weeks ago?
Remember, I made it to plus 450. I came in that morning. I'm like, it's still plus 380. Everybody go out and bet it.
Yeah.
And then the next day it was plus 140.
That's right. That's
so
right.
It was like, yeah.
Like now, crazy movement.
Here's the bad news, which has good news and bad news within it. Let's go to the National League. This is the one that I have at plus 750 in real life, 8-1 here on the show in our little VEASAN show versus show futures thing. Last night, the Atlanta Braves beat the New York Mets in the first of their three games set in Atlanta. They beat them handily 5-1 in a game that felt like it was 50-1. And Arizona loses again to the Giants. It is not lost on me, again, that the Washington Commodores knocked me out of Survivor and that the Giants swept the Royals and now are trying to sweep the Diamondbacks. So right now, for the final two positions in the National League wildcard race, the Mets, with a half-game lead over the Diamondbacks, who have a half-game lead over the Braves, who are just on the outside looking in. Now, the bad news is that game last night felt very reminiscent of that three-game set that the Braves swept the Mets in 2 years ago. Remember when I had the, count them, 17 plus money bets on the Braves to win that division? That felt really like that last night. It was not a good feeling. Jeff Parles, Mets fan, was not happy with what he was seeing. He was starting to get the heebie-jeebies on that as well. So here, that's the bad news. The bad news is that the Braves have the tiebreaker over the Diamondbacks. The Mets have the tiebreaker over the Diamondbacks. And as far as Atlanta and the Mets, this series will determine that tiebreaker. Because remember, there's no play-in games. There's no wild card games. It's all done by head-to-head. So right now, Atlanta with a 6-5 lead over the Mets. So the good news, if I can say that in quotes, the good news is this. The Diamondbacks, with four games left to play, it's still on their racket. They still control their own destiny. They're benefiting from the fact that Atlanta plays the Mets right now. So Arizona, you just got to take care of business, and you're in. You don't have to look at the scoreboard. And the Mets, as far as knocking out the Braves, because remember, our bet is about the Braves not making the postseason and Arizona with a World Series matchup. The Mets just have to win one of these remaining two against Atlanta to still control their own destiny heading into their final three games, which is at Milwaukee. And Milwaukee may not have anything to play for at that point because they will have been perhaps shut out of the top two seeds heading into that final series. So the Mets just have to win one to maintain their controlling of their own destiny. If they win both of these against Atlanta, they have clinched a playoff berth because they will effectively boxed out Atlanta at that point, given the situation now with so few games left. So that's the good news. The bad news is what happened last night, though. Braves win, Mets lose, and of course the Diamondbacks lose on top of that. So it's getting very, very hairy in the National League. And by the way, if you looked at the odds now for the Braves to make the playoffs, they are big favorites, over $2 favorites to make the playoffs. So again, these things can change massively with just one day's results. And let me just say this about Major League Baseball. You have the entire day to show your product to the world. There is only one day game in Major League Baseball today, and it has nothing to do with any of this. So bad.
Yeah, we have Braves minus 215, yes, to make the playoffs. Mets minus 290, Diamondbacks minus 165.
Right, but if the Mets win tonight and the Diamondbacks win, that completely flips again.
Right, right.
You know, so it's like it's super volatile change.
And there is still weather concerns for this series,
and that's
right?
The other thing. There's these big weather concerns with the hurricane in Georgia. And so I was talking to Parles about this too yesterday because he's a huge Mets fan. He was like, I want the hurricane to come now so that the Mets can possibly avoid Sale and Freed and play the Braves on Monday. I'm not sure if it would work that way, by the way. But anyway, there's that consideration as well. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Everybody stay safe in Florida. I think I saw something today, like the entire state's on tropical storm watch, or the entire area of South Florida is.
And if you have spent any time in that region of the country, you know how serious that can be. Survivor. Here's the thing about Survivor. We went through it, you know, hugely yesterday, so we're not going to go crazy on it today. But as I mentioned, 95.5% of the entries are out in Circa Survivor. That is reflective. Todd Wright does a Survivor podcast. He said this as well because he's aware of a lot of other ones nationally. But it's reflective of the percentage that is out in most, right? 95.5% gone. And so it's sort of a self-cannibalizing thing when you're doing content like we're doing, Kelly, because only one out of 20 people are still involved.
Yeah.
So you can't really go segments on end talking about it, but we will address it. We won't stop talking about it, but you get the idea. We'll temper that. Here are your best week four survivor options in terms of the spreads in the National Football League. Cowboys, 6-point favorites at the Giants. Texans, 7-point favorites at home against the Jags. Jets, 7.5 at home against the Broncos. Niners, 10-point favorites at home against the Patriots. And the Chiefs are 8-point favorites at the Chargers. So those, by the numbers anyway, would be your most natural options. And I'll just take it from the top, Kelly. You could chime in. Cowboys, don't trust it. This is me. I don't trust it. Texans, I would have already have used them, so I can't consider them. Jets.
Oh, where did you play them at?
Week two.
Okay.
I played them in both. Week two. Jets.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We both did. That's right.
Jets hosting the Broncos. Okay. I could probably trust that one. Niners hosting the Patriots. I think I can trust that one even with the Niners in banged up condition. And there is no Christmas or Thanksgiving consideration with the Niners. Mm-hmm. With the Chiefs, there is. So you probably want to save them if you're in circus. So to me, it would be Jets or Niners. What could go wrong?
It's if you're not playing in circa, I think I'd gravitate more towards the Chiefs. They have their own injuries, but man, I think this. I've teased the Chiefs. I mean, teaser legs with big favorites. Gil, breaking news, have not worked out very well this year because they keep just losing outright. I do have them in a teaser with the Bills, though. They like the Chargers. Like resting Herbert seems to make too much sense to me. You've got both the tackles are hurt this week. It just feels like Harbaugh's getting a lot of love still from the odds makers.
A lot of love. Anyway, that's your brief survivor update. Good luck. I mean, and who are we to talk? Good luck to all who are still involved. Mark Borchard, got to talk more about baseball, all his plays today, what his thoughts are on the playoff picture. It's next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, Kelly, I know you're trying to destroy that keyboard, but I got to read a promo here. Can you keep it down? The NHL season is almost here, and our hockey betting experts are ready for all the action. Our all-new NHL betting guide from VSiN out now with strategies for betting the NHL, including previews of all 32 teams, Stanley Cup odds and predictions, and, of course, best bets. Start your VSiN Pro subscription today for as little as $9.99 to reserve your copy of the guide, plus get instant access to our daily best bets, top-rated betting systems, 24/7 video access, and exclusive betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Don't miss our must-have NHL betting guide. Adam Burke did a spectacular job on this, packed with key insights and data for both avid hockey bettors and those new to the sport. Sign up for just $9.99 for your first month at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. You think Adam Burke is more excited about the VSiN NHL betting guide or the fact that Lindemann is on the show today?
I don't know. He's excited that Matt Lindemann's on. I'm excited as well.
I am pumped for a little Matt Lindemann college football. We get tweets at Beating the Book. 3Jack, H3131, waiting for the day that Gil walks in and says, hey, Kelly Bidley. Hey, Kelly Bidley, what the hell kind of show did you put together today? Oh, it's coming. I'm sure. One of these days.
It could have happened. Gil's too good of a guy. He probably says it in his mind a lot.
In my mind, I'm like, this is the worst radio ever. Jesse Welch, hurricane on its way to Florida. Kelly, you didn't tell us you were taking the rest of the week off to go to a wedding.
I broke the streak, Jesse. The streak. I am not following the hurricane this time around.
He makes plans based on a hurricane sort of chasing is what you do. And this is from Jason Stark. Not that Jason Stark, but another. He does correct me here. He says the day game does have something to do with the AL wildcard race. I was referring to the teams that I was talking about, Jason. But he's right. The Mariners need to win to stay alive. With the Twins and Royals collapsing, they still have a puncher's chance. They do. They have a puncher's chance. As I said, the Twins are closer to the Mariners and the Red Sox, certainly the Mariners, than they are to the actual teams they're chasing at this point. Let's talk some baseball with Mark Borchard, everybody, from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him at BaseWinner at BaseWinner.com. And, of course, he does the BetUS baseball show on a daily basis. Mark Borchard, everybody. How you doing, Marky Mark?
Every day but Wednesday. You know, Wednesday is my day off, but I go on your show on my day off, Gil. That's the kind of guy that I am.
Wow, that is. And I remember you telling me that before, so I want to thank you for that. It is your day off, and you still hang out with us, so thank you.
It's fun to be on your show. It's like a vacation. I love talking baseball with you.
It's very nice. Well, it doesn't get any better than this, does it? In terms of the wild card races, this is what Major League Baseball wanted, right? They wanted teams to be involved late. and they have gotten that, at least in the American League to some extent, although that seems to be fading, but we'll see. The National League is a logjam between the Mets, the Diamondbacks, and the Braves, as we talked about last segment, for those final two positions, and the Braves from the dead kind of here. Not really from the dead. I shouldn't say that. It's just that they were always lurking. They deserve a lot of credit because they've had a lot of key injuries, and yet here they are. And all these teams control their own destiny, right? There's no scoreboard watching at this point for any of these teams. How do you think it shakes out?
Oh, this is great, Gil. I mean, it really kind of is an exercise in probability, because when you look at it, all the teams are technically favorites to make the postseason. I've got the Mets at 76.8%, the Braves at 62.3%, and the Diamondbacks at 60.8%. You say, well, how can they all be favorites? Well, the combined probability adds up to 200%, and there's two spots. So that's how it works, Gil.
Yeah, and
it's cool.
If the Diamondbacks are not to make it, they will look back at Sunday's game while we were all watching football. They led the Brewers 8-0 and coughed it up. They gacked that game 10-9, even though the great Randall Grichuk tried to make it closer, tried to give the Diamondbacks the insurmountable lead at 9-6 late. It wasn't, though. 10-9, the Brewers win that. What do you make of these teams in the postseason? Of these three, Mets, Diamondbacks, and Braves, which is the one you would be most fearful of playing in the postseason?
I think the Braves have the best bullpen, third best starting pitching by my ratings. And, you know, the team's kind of gotten a spark here in the last 2 weeks. If you look at the Fangraphs leaderboard since 9-15, so that's almost about 2 weeks. They're third in baseball from an OPS standpoint, only behind the Dodgers. And so I think that, when you look at that, sometimes you don't think about like just the psychological advantage, and you figure this team's just been really banged up all year, and they got Albies in, and coincidentally they've really hit well since he's been in the lineup, and so you're getting good production by five guys in that order. So the Braves for me, because of their starting pitching and their relief, but I think that the batting for them is starting to kind of catch on, Gil.
Same question for the teams that are vying for the final AL wildcard positions. Detroit is the hottest team in baseball. Kansas City is just – Kansas City, again, they are limping in. They're trying to give it to Minnesota. Minnesota refuses to take it from them. But does that carry over for you to the postseason? Do you think that any of that matters? Or is it just one of these situations where, hey, if you get in, wipe the slate – you can actually perform completely differently? Because we've seen that before, right?
Yeah, I think you have to look at the team's bullpens. And I don't necessarily know that Kansas City has that elite bullpen to carry it on. Yeah, I think that American League, just looking at the pricing for me, it's priced about right. I think where the value is in the National League, Gil.
National League specifically with what? Just to clarify.
Oh, I would take the Padres to win the National League, and I would take the Padres to win the World Series. So if you're looking at, you know, from a pure probability standpoint, I just want to see what the numbers are, because I'm looking at with the Padres to win the World Series at +438. And then in the market, I think that they're a lot better than that. I don't know the exact price. Maybe you could pull that up for me.
Yeah, well, fine. It's longer than +438. I'll tell you that much. That's
yeah,
sure.
It's +900 at BetUS. So that's pretty impressive. And what's interesting too is that if the Braves do make it, they have some value as well. I've got them to win the World Series. I'm just looking at these 6.2% chance to win the World Series, which would be priced at +1500. And then in the market, you get them at 28-1. So I think that's pretty valuable long shot play, considering if you just look at their components too. That bullpen is very solid. I have the best in baseball. And then the starting pitching, I mean, they've got a Schwellenbach's been really good. They've got the Cy Young winner with Sale, and then Max Fried. So I think that you could put that rotation up against pretty much anybody, Gil.
Yeah, the Schwellenbach thing is amazing too, because his numbers against great competition is really where he steps up. Like if you look at his numbers versus other playoff teams, he's been incredible. So there's that. The other thing about the Padres that should be mentioned, and we could throw this up, guys, if you can, which is the best record in Major League Baseball. This isn't done yet. Like the National League West isn't done, nor is the best record in baseball. The Dodgers have the best record right now. But again, we have a handful of games left. They're 93-64 are the Dodgers. Then the Phillies are 93-65. By the way, the Phillies taking the night off completely yesterday against the Cubs after their celebration. Then it's the Yankees. But look at the Padres. The Padres are actually two games behind the Dodgers in the NL West. That ain't over either, which is sneaking up on everybody, I think.
Yeah, no, I have them with a 17%. Still an outside chance, but 17% plus 480. They're plus 500 in the market. And, that was an amazing game last night. They got a really good outing from King, Gil.
They got a great outing from King, and they won the game and clinched a playoff berth on a game-closing triple play, which is just awesome. Orioles clinched last night, by the way. They're winning the Bronx, and the Padres on a triple play get into the postseason. They were going to get there anyway, but nice dramatic flair. What did you play today?
You know, I'm going to play a parlay with the Phillies and the Braves. I like Sale tonight. I've got them priced at minus 202. They're like minus 175-ish in the market. I like Philly tonight. I think that, you have to keep some kind of consistency. I would think that from a professionalism standpoint, maybe you take one night off, but you're going to come back today. I think that they should win. Definitely a huge pitching advantage with Sanchez versus Assad. I've got that priced about minus 190. It's a little bit of value in the market. I'm going to go with a parlay there. You lay a unit to win 1.47 units, so plus 147, Gil. There's a couple of like weird underdogs that I like. I like the Nationals today. I'm going to play at first five, Washington minus 104. I think there's a big pitching advantage with the starting pitching. I'm not a huge fan of Michael Lorenzen. And then this guy, DJ Hertz. He's not a DJ. Like you would be a DJ, like a rave DJ Megahertz, you know. But every time I see that, that's what I think of. But you have the advantage here. I've got it priced on the five-inning line about minus 150 for the Nationals, and you're getting that at minus 104. I think that's pretty valuable. And then I think that this game, this Yankees-Orioles game, I think it's a little bit low from a run projection standpoint. I've got 9 runs in the full game, and you can get it in the market at 8 for even money. I think that's pretty valuable. You know, you're looking at this Yankees offense, best in baseball. And then I'm not really sold on their bullpen. They've got some concerning numbers in that bullpen going into the playoffs, but more importantly, going into this game for the total, Gil. So those are my plays.
Mark Borchett, everybody, at BaseWinner. You can follow him on Twitter at that, also BaseWinner.com, and of course the BetUS show that he does. And if his name were DJ Hertz, he would be a DJ calling himself DJ Megahertz. That was my big takeaway from that as well. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Gil. Appreciate it, man.
How about some NFL power rankings next? Oh, this should be different. Coming up on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, have I introduced Sport Trade to you yet? Minus 104 lines, high limits, get it now. Minus 104 lines instead of the typical minus 110. Instant in-game betting and a concierge player service. Sport Trade, perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. It's the app that's going to change sports betting forever. Sport Trade live in New Jersey, Colorado, and Iowa. Coming to Arizona and Virginia this fall. Download Sport Trade. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. That's in your first week. Terms apply. Got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Minus 104 lines. Check it out. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside here in A Numbers Game. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from everybody. Best listeners in the game. Mike Rouse, when speaking about the Nats game, I was waiting for Mark to go into full rap mode. Yeah. He's always a threat to do that.
I think he's getting more and more confident with it too. I'm nervously waiting for him to bust one out every time too.
Well, you know what Jason told us? That apparently when they did the BetUS show together, like that was a thing. Mark did one every week on the show.
That's right. Things we have learned. Yes. Apparently that was a thing. Yeah.
And Jason said sometimes they just sat there in horror. Mets doo-doo for Martin Bernstein at Mets doo-doo. Tigers forget making the playoffs. Winning the league championship 100-1. He's got him winning the pennant. There you go. All right, Martin, let's see if they can get it done. California Wager looking at our lineup today. He says, have a day, folks. Talk about Jason and Tyler and Matt and Sia coming up as well. Bainbridge DeWeese, I'm out of Circa, but my smaller pool guy started a new one since the main one is almost done. I'm sure I'm not the only one, so y'all just keep on talking. Survivor. Oh, we will. We will. We will not stop talking about it. But you understand that we will not spend segments on end about it, perhaps, like we once did. Okay. I just want to bring this up before we get to NFL power rankings, because in many ways, and I know this has nothing to do with sports betting. Well, it does if you're betting the UNLV game. But it's the most interesting story in all of sports to me, which is that AP ran a story on the ESPN website early this morning that quarterback Matt Sluka of UNLV, of the Rebels, he announced on X, Matt Sluka did, that he's leaving the team because he didn't get what he was promised on his NIL agreement. Here's the quote from Sluka on Twitter. He said, quote, "I committed to UNLV based on certain representations that were made to me, which were not upheld after I enrolled. Despite discussions, it became clear that these commitments would not be fulfilled in the future. I wish my teammates the best of luck this season and hope for the continued success of the program."
I have so many questions about this story.
He also said that he wants to utilize his redshirt year. And by the way, I think that's what he's referring to, that UNLV did not give him the proper education to change the word utilize to use. Because remember, there's really never a real time that you have to use the word utilize. Use really just covers it. So maybe that's what it's talking about the money. So here's the thing with this story that's so interesting.
I also like the wording of certain representations. It's like certain promises that's kind of what you mean.
This is really kind of like a who do you believe thing at this point.
Yeah.
Because if you believe Sluka and he was promised money that they reneged on and he's not getting the money he was promised, he's a transfer from Holy Cross, then you're Team Sluka. And you're like, hey, I don't care that they're 3-0. I don't care that it's the middle of the season. The man was promised money. He has a right to do that. Now, if you don't believe him and you believe, you know, some of the other things we're hearing, which let me specifically give one of those things. This, Kelly, is from Carl Reed Jr., who works at 24/7 Sports.
Yep.
Carl Reed Jr. says, all financial commitments for UNLV quarterback Matthew Sluka were completely met. But after wins against Kansas and Houston, Sluka's family hired an agent and they collectively feel that his market value has increased per source. And that's what makes this story so fascinating, because when NIL is allowed and it's the wild, wild west where there's no regulations on it, and the NCAA doesn't have their arms wrapped around this, ladies and gentlemen, this was bound to happen, and here we are. Now, it's UNLV's quarterback. Sorry, local folks who are big UNLV fans, but imagine if this was a big-time school.
Oh, totally. I think you broke it down well from the Sluka side, and now it's, okay, if you want to believe these other reports, then you basically have a holdout situation. You have a college player who's holding out.
And look at the flip side of this also. So we're looking at it from the perspective of what's actually happening. So you have a holdout quarterback, essentially, in college sports. But what if a Michigan decided after 3 weeks, you know, we could use an upgrade at quarterback, and they pick up a player 3 weeks into the season?
Oh, good
based
call.
On this kind of, yeah. So I'm just saying.
Who needs school? And you can just be a free agent. Sit at home on your couch like Joe Flacco and get the call from UNLV midseason.
And win yourself a comeback player of the year and get it over the guy almost died. Oh, I'm sorry.
We have an obsession with comeback player of the
year. Different conversation. Anyway, I just think this is the most fascinating story in all of sports. The 3-0 Rebels. And he's bouncing.
Yeah, I know JVT's going crazy on it on Twitter this morning.
I'm sure local radio here, I'm sure it's nonstop.
I had a great conversation with Wyatt Tomchek before the show. He often fills in for me here when I'm out, and he does a bunch of play-by-play for other sports at UNLV. Just interesting hearing from these guys, because there's just so many questions I have. Like, how does this happen, right? I know NIL's new. But how is this stuff not in writing? Like, if there's, it should be pretty easy to figure out whether the kid's been paid or not, right?
It's the ultimate, we didn't think this all the way through thing.
That's what it sounds like.
This is great.
And then it's like, okay, if there's a holdout situation, right? You know, why I brought this up, and I'm like, I just don't know how this stuff works anymore when it comes to tuition, housing, books. I would think all that stuff has kind of changed since NIL's come around, but does he just get to continue going to school even though he's like holding out of the football program? It just leaves way more questions than anything for me.
Las Vegas Locally, who's one of these big Twitter accounts, talks about all things Las Vegas entertainment.
A must follow if you're into Vegas.
He tweeted on uh, on X. He says, UNLV football quarterback Matt Sluka just quit on the team. Rumor has it he's been offered more NIL money from another school. College football is in big trouble. It's a huge story here in Las Vegas, but I think nationally it's a massive story. Not just the fact that he used utilize instead of use, which again could be mistaken for what he's not getting from UNLV, but it's probably a move that is a portent of things to come in college football if this thing doesn't get sort of wrangled.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll follow that because we'll find out more as the day goes on and as the week goes by. Okay. NFL power rankings. Plug it in. No? There we go.
Boom, boom.
DC 101. Okay. Shout out to DC 101. I'm just going to do a local station every week on this.
There we go. Yeah.
A local hard rock or classic rock station.
No, they're all dying. All the rock stations are dying, too. You're right. We should just pick random ones to shout out.
Still exist around the country. All right. The bottom half of my power rankings are completely different. Feels like.
I would assume both of ours are.
welcome Minnesota Vikings into the 10 spot. They absolutely deserve it with their 3-0 record, and I think they're legit. And Sam Darnold's legit. Buffalo Bills, welcome. Hey, I always loved Jesse Pegula. Now I love you too. Bills are in just on the sheer force that is Josh Allen. And again, I like to say their best play is Josh Allen just tucking it under and running. But this guy is MVP level. Any way you slice up stats, he is number one. I'm talking your counting stats and also EPA per play, QBR, total QBR, a passer rating, everything comes up Josh Allen. The Jets were always at the bottom of mine. I still got them at 8. They kind of deserve to be sort of at the bottom of your top 10, I think. They've played well, but not overwhelmingly well. I am more impressed by the Packers than I think maybe any team in the NFL based on what expectations were, based on what I've seen from them. This with Malik Willis at quarterback, they've got them at number 7. Then not a lot of movement beyond that other than the Eagles. I got the Texans remaining at 6, even though they lost. The Eagles are a big step up. They go to 5 for me. And then my top 4 stayed the same, Kelly, because I kind of feel the same about the Lions. I kind of feel the same about the Ravens. I certainly feel the same about the Chiefs. And the Niners really are injury riddled. I am giving them a pass for the injuries. So I've still got them at number 1. So to me, it's really kind of the same at the top, with a lot of mayhem at the bottom.
Yeah, I actually thought the top was as interesting as the bottom this week because I didn't really change much either.
Yep.
But I do think it kind of shines the spotlight even more on the Baltimore Ravens because you're like, all right, like I can make a lot of injury excuses for these teams at the top and some of the things they're battling through right now. But like Ravens, you kind of don't have that same excuse. So good win, obviously, last week in Dallas. Big time matchup with Buffalo coming up this week.
We'll learn a lot more this week.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I think we're going to learn a lot more this week. So yeah, I'll start at the bottom too. I went Vikings 10, so I think we match there. I have Seahawks in. I guess you don't have them in, probably just on the outside.
I want only the best for them because I got the Coach of the Year award, but they really haven't been great.
Yeah, I think the defense is impressive, and I think it's amazing to me, especially the wide receivers, man. The wide receivers in Seattle and Tampa Bay, how they don't seem to age is just incredible. The offensive line's a major concern, though, and that's got to get better here for them to be a real team down the stretch. This is kind of where I had the Packers on the outside looking in. I know we talked about that. I'm with you. They're one of the most impressive teams of the year for me so far, but let's get Jordan Love back. Let me see them with this team full strength. They may rocket up my power rankings next week. Jets 8, kind of we're number 11 now, back in right in that back end of the top 10. Texans and Bills flip-flop here. I just moved Texans down to 7.
Okay.
Ravens 6, Eagles Lions 5, Eagles 4. Again, I think some injury excuses there. Bills 3, 49ers 2, Chiefs 1.
Sorry to run you into the wall there.
That was my bad.
Pretty similar. See you, Najat, on golf in the NFL next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, un partido de números. For those listening in Spanish, Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidley, live from Circa here in downtown Las Vegas. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Just want to read a couple here before we get to see you. Ryan Hyatt Media. I utilize the knowledge gained each day on ANG with Gil and Kelly to have a deeper understanding of UNLV, Florida, and grammar. What's that? What's that WX in there? Is that just a typo in there?
Florida weather.
Oh, Florida weather. Yeah. Pardon me. And grammar. Is that what the?
Yeah, it's weather shorthand.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I did not know that. Mr. Smarty Pants didn't know that over there. By the way, we have a Jalen Warren Stan account. on Twitter, who says Kelly has the Seahawks in his top 10 and says the defense is impressive after giving up 20 plus to the Broncos and Patriots, yet no mention of the Steelers, who have given up 26 points total through three games. They're coming after you now, baby. I love it.
Everybody from Pittsburgh in the past 3 years, good. There's no doubt about that. I feel like the Pittsburgh defense is amazing. I'm not doubting that.
Yeah.
The offense, I still have questions about, though.
Yeah. Yes, as you should. As you should. All right, let's bring in Sia Najad, everybody. You can follow him on Twitter at, coincidentally, Sia Najad, S-I-A-N-E-J-A-D. Comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, host at the Monumental Sports Network. What's happening, Sia?
What's happening? You must be happy. I didn't catch yesterday's show, but Jaden Daniels put on a show, so I'm pretty happy. I've got Santana Moss and Sean Taylor over my shoulder here. First time I felt good about the Commanders since probably that RG3 QB sneak against the Minnesota Vikings in 2012.
RG3 2012 was the last moment, really. I know Kirk Cousins got to the playoffs once. But yeah, RG3 2012 was the last where hope sprung eternal for this franchise. It was great. I got knocked out of Survivor in the process, but as far as the Skins' viewpoint on it, it was fantastic. And Jaden Daniels, he could not have possibly been better these first 3 weeks. He really couldn't have been.
And I said, I've been saying this since I've been coming on the show, since the draft or even before the draft. I really did think he was the better quarterback than Caleb Williams. And I understand we only have a 3 week sample size, but it really does look that way, both from a leadership standpoint and just an arm and a pre-snap and everything. He seems to have all the intangibles. So, again, exciting moments. Can I just say real quick, this NIL thing is as an attorney, I don't want to go.
Please chime in.
Field here. But this is so interesting to me because I'm not going to pretend like I've seen these contracts and I know what they are. But I mean, you're talking so many issues down the line. And again, I speak as an attorney, but not having really invested time in looking at these contracts. But breach of contract, tortious interference with a contract to the extent another university recruited this, for this example, this UNLV kid. There's so many implications here. Who has standing to sue? Would anybody actually sue a player because of just the bad PR that comes with that? There's just so many implications to this. This NIL thing, like, yes, it's good for the players, but this is going to be a mess for quite some time.
See, real quick on that, though, I was wondering this last segment, like, there has to be something in writing when these kids sign, right? So there is, like, shouldn't there be pretty clear one way or the other who's in the right, who's in the wrong here?
Yes and no. I mean, that's what lawyers are for, right? Things can seem clear, but they can get muddled by lawyers. And I think when it comes to just the NIL stuff, which we're still in the initial phases of, maybe these contracts aren't as ironclad, or maybe they don't have the language that they need to have. Like, I don't even know who would have jurisdiction if somebody was going to bring a lawsuit. I don't know if it's supposed to be settled via arbitration versus being in court. There's so many implications here. And again, like, the third parties, like, we think the university, like UNLV, is getting kind of screwed out of this, but like I'm not even sure they're the party that would be bringing like any action, because it's these third parties that are trying to use these players' likenesses and images and things of that nature. So there's a lot of parties involved outside of the university and the player himself.
And Sluka, the reason that it's happening now after three games is because were he to play one more game, this option would not be on the table for him anymore. That's why it's happening right now. It's fascinating. The jurisdiction thing is interesting, too. Before we get to the NFL, let's get golf. I don't want to say out of the way, but I kind of mean out of the way. Explain what the tournament is, what the format is, and how involved you will be this week.
Yeah, I'm not going to be super involved, in all candor, because the non-conventional, like the team setups, Ryder Cup, President's Cup, I'm not super interested in, because you guys know I'm more of a golf better than a golf enthusiast. I need the conventional head-to-head matchup plays, the first round leaders, the outrights, things of that nature. So, I mean, like we have it on the screen here, we've got four ball and we've got foursome matchups. We've got the Americans that are heavily favored, probably too heavily favored, but there's a lot of like interesting bets you can take like on an individual basis. I was just on hosted a show earlier this morning with Patrick McDonald from CBS, and he has bets like, and I'm just going to riff from what he had. He has bets like Xander Schauffele, top scoring United States player, Taylor Pendrith, top scoring international player. Like, these are bets you can make that make it feel a little bit more like conventional golfy. But when it comes to like betting aside here, I just don't think there's much value one way or the other.
Okay, fair enough. Let's go to Thursday night football. Cowboys at the Giants. Cowboys, not negligible favorites here. 6-point favorites on the road. Obviously, their bugaboo has been They can't stop the run. I'm not sure if the Giants are the team to exploit that, though. And also offensively, they can't establish the run. But you do have an angle on the Cowboys trying to establish the run here.
Yeah, what's interesting here is I think both running backs could have success. Devin Singletary is certainly having a rebirth. I looked at his combo yards, but I think the number was too high. But Dallas allowing a lot of explosive runs. So don't be surprised if this is a running game on both ends, at least more so than people think. Where my play is, though, it's Rico Dowdle. I think it's pretty clear here that there's not a lot of talent in this backfield, but that the most talented running back is Rico Dowdle over Ezekiel Elliott, over Deuce Vaughn. His rushing number just this morning has kind of moved a little bit. I liked his over at 39.5, but I got to concede in some markets, it's already down to 37.5, 38.5 in other places. I think it's going to dance between 37.5 and 40.5. And I'm willing to take the over in any of those numbers. I think there's a misconception here in terms of what type of rush attempts he's going to get. Because if you look at the first three games, especially the last two, he's only had like 7 or 8 rush attempts and his yards per carry has been really bad. The problem with that line of logic is that the Cowboys were getting blown out in both of those games. And for the record, they were playing rush defenses that were better than the New York Giants. The Giants allowing almost 5.5 yards per carry. And we're going to finally see a neutral or positive game script for the Cowboys. And if I think Rico Dowdle is going to be the lead back and he's going to get 10 or 11 rushes, I mean, I'm just doing the math here. I think he's going to get well over 40 yards. So I'm actually surprised this number is coming down. But if it's down to 37, 38.5, I think you should hammer it.
All right, 39.5-ish right about now for Rico Dowdle in terms of his yards on Thursday Night Football. Let's go to Sunday. You have a few picks here. We just had someone commenting on the fact that they were upset that we don't have the Steelers in our top 10 power rankings. You have a thought on the Steelers, a tick of a favorite on the road against the Colts.
Can I just concede that I liked Anthony Richardson coming into this season?
Yes.
And I liked him in fantasy, and I played him in daily fantasy last week and in week one. Not good. If anybody has watched these games or put there's some tape that like people are having fun on Twitter that have more experience with putting like montages together than I do. I mean, it is not a good look. This is a bad matchup for Anthony Richardson. I think he's going to run around, pick up some rushing yards, and play a little bit desperate. But when you're lined up against this Pittsburgh defense, I don't care if you don't like Justin Fields. I'm not a big fan of Justin Fields either. But the Steelers defense is good enough to against a very bad quarterback right now. Richardson is not that dude, and this is not a get-right spot. I don't care if it's at home or not. It's not a get-right spot when you're going after a still-hungry Steelers defense who knows that they might be leading their division, but a lot of people think they're going to fall pretty precipitously, especially in the second half of the season. So I like the Steelers money line here. I will absolutely take them -2 as well. I just don't think they're getting enough credit. I don't think people are appreciating. Yeah, Jonathan Taylor's good, but I don't think people are appreciating how rough this Colts defense is, but how rough Anthony Richardson looks.
All right. See, our audio is getting a little janky here, so we'll try to slog through these last 60 seconds, but you have two more picks. One is on the Bucs, the Eagles, slight favorites on the road, 2.5-point favorites on the road against the Buccaneers, but you like the home dog.
Yeah, too many questions for the Eagles. Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, I don't know if either of them are going to play. I actually think neither of them are going to play, but even if they do, I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are live. I don't think when you don't have A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith, or at least one of the two, I think when you take away one of the safety blankets for Jalen Hurts, I don't think it's a great look. Tampa at home in a bounce back spot, getting points. Yes, their defense is banged up as well, but I like playing the risk of one or two of these receivers not playing for Philly.
All right, and lastly, this was the line that I thought was the most off during guessing lines. The Bears, 3-point favorites against the Rams. I get it, the Rams are banged up, but 3 for the Bears? What do they do to deserve that?
This feels like a trap, Gil, but I'm taking it. You know, we've seen through 3 weeks that coordinators matter, right? Like offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, head coaches. We're seeing poor teams with maybe poor personnel really succeed. And now I'm getting Sean McVay and Matt Stafford versus Matt Eberflus and Caleb Williams, and I'm getting 3 points. This is a no-brainer. I understand the injuries, but if anybody's going to overcome injuries, it's Sean McVay. He has another week to prepare for after the 49ers. Love the key number here. Give me Rams +3.
All right, see ya. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it. See ya, Najad, PGA and NFL analyst over there at the Monumental Sports Network. Thank you, sir. Sia.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You see that picture of Sia that we threw up there? What did he look like there?
A sharp-looking dude, right?
Looked like a little Pete Sampras, didn't he?
A little bit.
That's Pete Sampras.
He's got that.
Pete Sampras on the show. We didn't really see that coming. Nice booking, Kelly. We'll come back. WNBA and college football with Tyler Shoemaker on the other side right here on A Numbers Game.